And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me grab a mic. I'm Gladys Suruga, and you're listening to the Temples Podcast. It's the 31st of January. It's been a minute. Happy New Year. How was your New Year's? How are you feeling? Are you a New Year's resolution person? Maybe you're not. Maybe this year had you say, I'm going to do things a little differently. I'm going to take it month by month. I hear that. And, you know, in case you're new here, for 6 years, I've focused on identity. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. That has been the focus since we started. And it's the very thing that also gets attacked on a daily. How you see yourself, how others see you, what God says about you, and the moment that you believe it. But as we move into this new season of temples, I thought it's best to move on to the next stage in this conversation, and that's purpose. What does it look like to pursue your purpose? What can you expect? There's so much breakthrough attached to standing in what God has called you to, but in order to get there, it's so important that I'm honest with you. Pursuing your purpose is tough. Sometimes it makes sin look easy. I'm not even going to lie. Therefore, it makes it harder to leave. Sometimes you lose relationships you felt so comfortable in, but they were only there for a season. This is not a message to sugarcoat anything. I have to be honest with you because you might feel some mixed emotions when you're on the way to the promised land. You might even contemplate turning back. I hear you, and that's what this episode is about. I'm All In is an interview with Michelle Munenyasha, a 21-year-old based in Perth. She's a kids pastor for a church with a kids ministry of over 300 kids that also leads about 100 adults in their team. She's also the executive assistant to a CEO of a global leadership organization. Michelle got saved at 18, an age where you have more freedom and you're entitled to make decisions on your own. And while that decision set her free, she had some hard decisions to make in terms of what was staying in her life and what she had to let go of. This is one I know you'll be able to relate to because none of us are exempt from asking this question. What's the point? If you've ever reached that point in your faith, have I got an episode for you? Join me as I catch up with the transparent yet bubbly Michelle Munenyasha on surrender, the power of calling out greatness in young people, grief in your faith, come on somebody, and what losing in the moment opens up to receiving in your future. Stick around to hear more on that. But first, as someone who leads just under 400 kids in her church, I thought it'd be nice to hear what Michelle had learned about people by leading kids. Here's what she said.
I think, oh my gosh, I've learned so much. Kids do not lie. If a kid doesn't like you, you're going to know. And if you're being fake, a kid is going to know. So
they are brutal. That's so true.
I've learned to be authentic in everything that I do. But I think an amazing thing I've learned in kids is that oftentimes kids have no idea what is on the inside of them. Kids can be so anointed or really gifted in certain things, and they don't really know until you call it out of them. And you have to relentlessly pursue that. You have to constantly call it out of them. And I've learned, I think that translates to adults a little bit, but adults have a lot more of the shame aspect where they're like, oh, maybe I'm good at this, but I don't know. And you have 100 reasons why you can't or aren't qualified to do something. Whereas with kids, once you tell them, hey, I believe in you and you can do this, they're like, heck yeah, okay, sure. So I think what? That's a major lesson I've learned, yeah.
Have you seen working with kids the point when someone becomes maybe a teenager and they start to doubt themselves a lot more and they start to not believe when you tell them, no, you're actually capable of so much more?
Yes. And I think that's 100% why I do what I do and why I'm so passionate about kids, is because doing kids ministry, you can see it from a really, really young age. And psychology has all of this research on how kids in their first year of life, I think it's about 50% of their understanding of the world is formed in like from birth to one. And then from there, the rest. Insane, right? Maybe fact check that, but I'm pretty sure that's And so it's heartbreaking to see how the enemy doesn't wait until you're like 12 years old to start pinning identity issues and pinning these things. It starts as a child. So I think my job, it isn't to parent kids, but it's really to reaffirm and really press in the identity that they have. So yeah, we see that right from like our toddlers they question things. So for kids, it's not necessarily a blatant like, I can't do this. It's more like, do you think I can do this? And when you affirm them, it kind of grows in that way. Yeah.
It's really interesting that you say that. And I guess that's why probably therapy is so important in adults, because a lot of the things that you're going through as an adult are a result of things that happened in your childhood maybe that you didn't deal with. And so as you're saying, like, that reassurance from a young age is so important, because that does carry you through to like your teenage years and even when you're a little bit older. Because you hear people say, oh, my parents used to tell me when I was a kid that I was so good at this, and now as an adult, like, I see it.
It's interesting. I think the amazing thing is, as a generation right now, we're pretty self-aware that our behaviors and our actions are quite connected to our childhoods. But I think the gap and sometimes the disconnect is what is connected. Oftentimes, if you had maybe a traumatic childhood, or you had a missing parent, or any of those things, you think, oh, I behave like this because this happened, which is true. But then there's also a deeper level of, this happened and it caused this feeling in me. It caused fear. It caused lack of trust or instability, all of these things. And so I think there's a disconnect between the action and how that made us view the world. But it's so true. And that self-awareness is so important, no matter how your childhood was, if you had both parents or only one, or whether it was pretty smooth sailing or difficult. Our ideas of life and how we see the world and interact with it are so connected to that. It's crazy.
Right. And I guess, like, speaking of childhood, you gave your life to Christ, well, came to know about God at such a young age. Can you talk us through what happened?
Yes, I can. I don't even remember how old I was. I was probably like 5 or something like that. I got baptized the first time when I was 7 years old. And I think as a child, I was very convinced that God is real and God is there. I didn't understand a lot, but I was very much in the faith from a young age. I think growing up and going through different things in childhood and a lot of cultural influence on my faith skewed what I believed. So I believed in God, but it was this muddled religion mixed with a lot of culture. So I remember as a kid, every single Sunday when they did a salvation altar call, I'd put my hand up because I was so, I guess, subscribe to this shame culture that when I've done something wrong, I am wrong. So I need to, you know, Jesus needs to take this child again for the 9th time this month, you know. And so a lot of what I believed was very much, I think, understanding God as a master and a ruler, but I didn't understand God as a father. And growing up, a lot of my childhood with my dad in and out, and a lot of things that happened with him, connecting to God as a father was so difficult for me. So yeah, gave my heart to God as a little kid, but the journey from 7 to like 18, girl, that's something.
Listen, that's what I feel like a lot of people will be able to relate to, because maybe people listening might have grown up in church, or maybe they didn't even know about God at a young age. But for you, and that's something that I can relate to as well, growing up in church, knowing of God, and then actually, you know, turning 18 and really discovering, you know, him for yourself. What did that look like for you?
I think what the turning point was for me is I came to a very, very, very broken place. It was honestly rock bottom. I had just been through a lot of stuff in a relationship I was in, and that had ended, and there was a lot of manipulation and abuse in that relationship. A lot of stuff with my family was really, really difficult. So I came to a space where I was like rock bottom. There was nothing below where I was then. And in a nutshell, a big story, but in a nutshell, I think what shifted is that I encountered the Holy Spirit. I encountered God as a father who comes alongside my story and comes into where I'm at and meets me there. I think as a person, my personality type lends itself to a lot of performance, which is really damaging sometimes. And so I always had this perspective that God was only interested in my story when I was aligned with what I thought he'd be saying. But in a moment of real weakness and brokenness, I had an encounter, and a friend of mine and his wife prayed for me, and I was crying. It was gross. Like Kim Kardashian, who was crying, like,
come on,
so ugly.
Oh, been there. We're like, don't look. Just give me that. Give me another. Give me the box. Give me the boxes.
Yeah. My tears were in my eyebrows, and I just remember encountering God as a father, and it changed my life completely. I felt like God came to where I was at with my brokenness, with my mess, with the whole ratchet situation. And he said, I love you, and I can bring this full circle. And so that's kind of where my journey started. And it wasn't this like, well, everyone, I'm perfect now, don't worry about me, you know? It was a journey of now discovering wholeness and letting go of things and behaviors. But that's kind of what happened. I think I was like 18 or 17 when that happened.
And isn't it interesting that, like, it's not like you get baptized and you snap your fingers and life changes for you. Like, you got baptized when you were 7, but coming to know God for yourself it was like a 10-year journey of you like seeing snippets of him, you seeing snippets of like his love for you, and then at 18 it really sunk in. And I think that that's really beautiful, and that's like, that's literally how it happens. Nobody falls asleep and wakes up the next day and, oh my gosh, I know God and I have all these understanding of what the Bible says. Like, it's literally a journey, and faith is a fight. And so I feel like, you know, when you turned 18, you're really starting to discover a lot about identity. And you mentioned when you were 7 about like this whole idea of shame culture and being like, oh, I am like a disgrace myself because of what I did. When did you learn to separate your identity from what you do?
Honestly speaking, I think I came into awareness that that is how I behaved probably soon after I gave my life to Christ. I started reading a lot of books and understanding some language around how I felt. And I could never pinpoint why it was that when I did something, whether it was schoolwork or life or work, whenever I felt like I was failing, it would be the most daunting, like gripping feeling. And every single time if I made a mistake, it would become like, it's me, I am the mistake. Or if I did something wrong, it isn't that the thing I did was wrong, it's that I was wrong. I came into awareness of that probably, 3-4 years ago. And there's a lot of great books out there, like Brené Brown does a lot of books and stuff like that. She's awesome, yes. Right? And a lot of what she talks about is that the antidote to shame is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I think when you talk about people struggling with the fact that when you give your life to Christ and then you wake up the next morning and you still have the same struggles, you still have the same desires, I think it's this thing where when you are in the presence of God and when you start walking that journey, there's a level of self-awareness that comes and you realize, hey, I'm actually not as great as I think I am. I actually have a lot of things that are kind of twisted or going wrong. And I think that self-awareness where you actually have to face yourself, it almost scares people into thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want people to know that this is who I really am. I don't want God to know that this is who I really am. So I'm just going to ditch the whole thing and keep living my life. Because that in between, I remember, this is off topic, but I remember when I became a Christian, when I started taking this really seriously, the scariest thing for me was transitioning into that life, because I was so scared, and I'd experienced before that people were, it felt like people were just waiting to be like, you're a hypocrite, you know, you fell short, you know, or
I saw that, what you did on the weekend.
I saw what you did last weekend, you know. I was petrified of this liminal space of kind of like wild child to God's child, you know. And in that space, I think what I did, and it was only God, I tried to live as openly as possible. No secrets, no hiding. And I think doing that somewhat publicly, I think gave a lot of people freedom to know that, hey, I actually don't have it all together. I still don't, but God's grace is really, really good and I'm okay, you know?
Yeah. And do you know what? Your transparency is actually what made me say to myself, I need to have you on my podcast, because I was just scrolling through Instagram when I saw one of your posts and you had talked about, you know, 3 years ago, you never imagined to be where you are today. And you were like, I was for the streets. And I was like, if that's not the most relatable thing I have read in 2022, it was like, well, the early 2022 post. I mean, we're only 13 days in, but you know what I mean? And I remember reading that and just thinking, but we were all for the streets. Do you know what I mean? People might not see us today like we were for the streets, but we all have something that we've come from, or somewhere that we've come from, where people looking at us today would not even have imagined it. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, you being transparent. You're able to open doors for other people, and other people can come to you and say, hey, Michelle, like, this was my story too. And there isn't shame about it, because like God set every one of us free. He's not saying you're better than this person, you're better than that. Like, we were all saved from the same sin.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And it's a challenge, but I think, I don't know, I think coming into this year, that I was like, God, I think if there's one thing that I want to do is I want to live openly and transparently. I don't want people to see my life now and feel inadequate, because there's a gap that they don't understand, in the sense that they knew me when girl was for the streets, we were partying together, you know, we were all there together, and now she's not.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I think what I want is to live that gap and live that space openly, because it's a journey and it's a lot of hard work, and it's not perfect, it's not all smooth, but it's a journey worth traveling. So
110%. I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me about your story is the decision to say, hey, I'm all in. it's not going to be a smooth ride. There might be, I might take two steps forward, one step back. People are going to see that journey, but I'm all in. And so for you, as a person who decided to commit, you know, your life to God at a young age, 18, some people might say, oh, I'll wait till I'm 60. But you were like, 18? All right, God, let's do this thing. Did you ever have a moment where you were like, what's the point? What's the point of all of this?
Yeah, for sure. I think some of the hardest times were when I was trying to live this new life and figure out new convictions with the same people that I had journeyed with. I've been blessed, like in all seasons of my life, to have incredible friends. And I had amazing friends in that time where we would go out together. And it wasn't just about what we did, but who they were to me was so special and so important. And so I think realizing that, you know, the Bible talks about how can two walk together if they don't agree, realizing that some of those friendships no longer served where I was going, and holding on to them was hurting me more than actually just letting go of them. I think in those moments where one by one, some friends that I really held dear started to become more acquaintances, and then people that you just see here and there, and then eventually we didn't talk. And not that there was anything wrong, but where we were going was just so misaligned that there was no point and there was no fruit in maintaining a friendship. I think a lot of those times I was like, God, is this worth it? Why am I experiencing so much loss? Why am I experiencing so much pain losing the people that I love? And then being in a new community where I'm figuring out my feet and finding, you know, who's who in the zoo, and how do I live this life of, hey, I'm a Christian too, but, you know, those are some really painful times. So then is probably the first time I could remember where I was like, okay, is this really worth it?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think enough people talk about that. Like, we talk about sacrifice and giving up things in order to pursue like our calling, but there is grief attached to that. Like, it's not easy to just say, I'm going to leave this stuff that I used to enjoy, because we were enjoying it. You know? But it's like, I make that conscious decision that, you know, I'm going to let certain things go. And that's not easy. And so I feel like it's refreshing to also hear you say that there were friendships that I did love and that served such a strong purpose in my life, that even letting go of those things when the season was over, that hurt as well. Because I'm sure that there are people, you know, someone's listening right now, and I'm sure that someone can relate to the fact that they've had to let go of stuff in order to walk towards what God's called them to. What's a word of encouragement, I guess, you can give to people that might have lost friends or lost maybe even relationships that was hard to the heartbreak? You know, anyone that's lost something that is kind of struggling with the what's the point?
Yeah, I think the thing that hurts the most in that space is feeling like you're not seen, or feeling like the struggle is so unique that no one can help me. I'm losing friends on this side, I'm losing relationships on this side, and I'm not too sure about the thing that I'm losing it for. I think my biggest encouragement is realizing that God is a God that meets us where we are. God is so interested in that specific loss and that specific grief, and he can meet you there. And it isn't this like big, like, whoa, angels are coming and they're just going to bring you your and you're going to be okay, you know? But I think there's an intimacy to God that I discovered in that season, that specific pain was important to him. I think all throughout scripture, we read about how God is a God that meets people where they're at in the point of their struggle, and he rewrites their story. And I think, you know, hold on to the hope that God is rewriting your story, not so you can be in eternal pain, but so that you actually have ground cleared where there can be seed and good fruit. And be in community, take the risk, go out, meet new people, and have open conversations as well. I think losing friends isn't something that is abnormal. I think in seasons changing, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's actually okay. And let yourself have that space to grieve. Grief is so important, man. I think grief, it's so important that we understand that grief isn't just reserved for death. It's things that you lose in life. And actually grieving those losses and coming to a place like, hey, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I need. Yeah. Where do we go from here?
Yes. Oh, that is amazing. Amazing how you put that. And I once spoke to head of social work at my university, and I was asking her, like, can you define what grief is? And she said, she put it in such a normal way. I was like, I've never heard grief, you know, described like this. And she said, it's loss of the familiar. And that was the first time I ever heard someone explain grief not relating it just to death. It's, you can grieve change, you can grieve moving house, you know what I mean? Like, you can grieve I'm just something, even if it's so little, but it's just different because you're not used to it. And so even losing friends, you're right, like grief is not just reserved for death. It's sometimes the heartbreak. It's, you know, it's being separated from something that you once knew and moving into, even if it's something better, you can still grieve that change. And I love that you've mentioned that. But I also want to take you, or maybe take us back to when you were 18. And if you could have an interview with Michelle at 18, what would you want her to know, knowing everything that you've been through to this day?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think when I was 18, I was very much worried that will I ever overcome this space of feeling like the shame of my past is always attached to me? Am I ever going to move past the standard that I had set myself to in that time? And those years were not perfect. I made a lot of mistakes and did a lot of things that I wasn't proud of. And I don't think I believed that I would ever amount to more than that shame. I thought God was good and he'd meet me and we'd have a great time, but I didn't think that I could still do more. And so I think I would tell that Michelle, God is so much bigger than what you've done. And the issue and the concerns of your value were settled at the cross. That was for everyone. And your sin isn't greater than the power of the cross. And I think I'd really invite her into a conversation of hope and what it means to have hope, to renew hope, to have ridiculous hope. I think I always played it really safe so that I couldn't be disappointed and that my expectations of God, I almost wanted to, I don't know, I think I was babying God in the sense that I'd be like, okay, God, this is what I want, but I don't want it too much. So in case you don't do what I want, I'm not going to be disappointed in you because I didn't want to harm that relationship. But in retrospect, hope is such rocket fuel to our faith, right? In Hebrews, it talks about how without hope, it's impossible to have faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for. And so I would encourage her and invite her into a conversation of having insane hope, looking for evidence of God in everything and trusting that the same God that called me when I was born, the same God that knew me when I was born, was still writing my story. And it was going to be okay. And that, you know, I have permission to get over the things that I did. I have permission to grieve those things and let them go. And I think one thing I wish I told myself, is that, you know, when I was 18, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I, some cases did not know better and I didn't do better, and that's okay. And give myself that permission to have grace and forgive myself for not doing better where I didn't know better. And yeah, I think that's it.
That is amazing. Do you know what? Sometimes you have to just give yourself grace and say, honestly, I didn't know what I didn't know. And you've grown since then. Look at the things that you're doing now. I mean, you even said it yourself. You never imagined that you would be, you know, where you are right now. And I know that you're inspiring many young people. I mean, you're inspiring me, and that's why I have you on here as well. But Michelle, like, what's next for you? What does 2022 look like in your life, and what are you looking forward to this year?
That's such a great question. I think this year I have this weird expectation. I think I'm in a space right now where everything around me is demanding a version of me that does not exist. Like this morning I was working and in all my jobs and all these things, I was like, God, this is requiring something in me that actually doesn't exist. I'm not this person that these things require. I don't have the capacity that these things require. And so I think I'm in a space where I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm so excited that God is going to not only partner with me through the Holy Spirit and bring that ability, but I think God is really creating in me the kind of person that does these things and the kind of person that can exist in the world that I do and thrive and flourish. It's a scary space to be where you're like, oh my goodness, like this. And it's so funny now, I'm 21 now, and I work with people that are so experienced, so phenomenal, and so have so many years in the field. And I'm like, God, you know, I do not have this under my belt. I have this confident hope and expectation that because God has brought me into these rooms, into these spaces, he's creating in me and really molding in me a version that can exist. So that's what I'm excited about in that sense. I think from a very much more simple perspective, I'm excited to travel. I never had a travel bug. I was a very content girl living in Perth. And it was like at the beginning of COVID that I was like, I want to travel, and boom, borders shut. So now I'm like, you know, I just want to see the world. I never wanted to see the world. Yeah. I don't know why. So with my job, a huge privilege is because my CEO does travel and speak in places, I get to travel with her. So excited to travel. Hopefully if these borders stop playing games, we're going somewhere.
And open up. That's exciting, sis. Do you know what? I actually wrote down, and maybe it's because of like the border closures and stuff like that, but I wrote down my goals for 2022. And one of my goals is travel more around Australia. Like, I've been here my whole life and I've only been to 3 states. I was like, okay. So that's about to change. That's about to change. And so I'm with you on that. The travel bug has bitten me. It's bitten me hard and it's contagious. I can see it's moving around. But no, I'm excited to see the places that you travel to and also just the amazing work that you continue to do. So thank you for putting up with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The whole alphabet happened like 30 minutes before we're meant to do this interview. And so thank you for just being patient, sitting with me. It was 110% worth it. I've been blessed. And even if just one person listens to this and they're encouraged, like that's what we do it for. So thank you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'd love to pray before we go. Is that okay?
Of course. Oh, yes, please. Oh,
awesome. Awesome. God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I just pray over every person listening into this podcast today. God, I thank you that you are consistently a God that meets us where we are. So Lord, I pray that whatever place or space they find themselves in, whatever struggle or even triumph they find themselves in, God, I pray that there would be an ease to intimacy with you. God, I pray that they would hear your voice. Holy Spirit, would you be the loudest voice they hear? And I thank you, yes. God, that as they learn about you, that shame would be broken off our generation. Shame would be removed and your love would replace those spaces. Thank you so much. And please open the borders in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. What a woman. If you ever thought you'd never amount to more than your shame, I hope Michelle's testimony blessed your socks off. The concerns of your value were settled at the cross. What a word. I think I've come to a point where the notes section of my phone is tired. It's tired of me jotting down the one-liners of friends, and my gosh, that is getting added to the list. What stuck out to you? You can send us a message via Instagram at temples_AU. I want to hear from you. We're going to really be focusing on the purpose part of this journey, so stay tuned because there will be more episodes coming up. If you have a testimony to share, or perhaps you want to nominate someone to be our next guest, send us a message at temples_AU on Instagram. Who do you know that's pursuing their purpose and has a story that can encourage us in this walk? I'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Temples Podcast.